Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon and happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the U.S. Core Data for Interoperability Task Force meeting. My name is Seth Kaczynski. I'll be serving as the designated federal officer in place of Lauren Ritchie for today's task force meeting. So I'll officially call the meeting to order, and we'll start with a roll call. Please stay here. Christina Caraballo.
Here.
Terry O'Malley.
Here.
Tina Esposito.
Here.
Valerie Gray. Ken Komodo. Stephen Lane.
Here.
Les Leonard. Glenn McDonald. Brett Oliver.
Here.
Steve Reedy. Sasha Termet.
Here.
And Cheryl Turney. Okay. Any other participants that need to announce themselves? All right. I think that completes our roll call. I'll now turn it over to Christina and Terry to begin today's agenda.
Yeah, go to calendar and pull it up on that one.
That's the way I do it.
Yeah. And then I should drop this one here, I think.
I think I hear Clem.
Yeah.
So today we are, thank you guys, going through our hopefully our final edits before we present our final recommendations to the HITECH meeting next week on Wednesday. Terry and I have gone through and made edits to this that everybody's hopefully seen over the course of the last couple of days, but let's go ahead and get started. Are we pulling up the Google Doc, Google Slides?
That was the plan. I think this is Al. That was the plan. I'm not sure that we provided the link if someone else is driving.
Okay. I can try to share my screen. Okay, I'll do it. Okay, now I can't see the meeting because I'm sharing my screen. Not opened in two browsers. So can you guys see my screen?
Slides are coming up now.
Is our Google Slides?
Yeah, we can see them.
Okay, perfect. All right, so jumping right in, this we actually set this up so that it'll be our actual slides for the HITECH meeting. So I'm going to breeze through some of this stuff that we've seen multiple times. All of the comments in red throughout this presentation are going to be new things that were added over the last couple of days in the Google Doc or Google Slides. And we have some headings at the top of slides that are new, that are marked new or draft. So I think that on this overarching goals, this is not stuff that's anything new that we've, this is stuff we've seen multiple times. So I'm just going to move through this. If anybody wants to interject on anything that I'm moving too quickly, feel free to interrupt me, but I want to get to the kind of the meat of this. Terry, did you have any opening remarks before we just dive in?
No, let's go.
Cool. Sorry, I'm going right to it. Okay, so we've got, first thing we're going to just discuss, the key components. I think that this is pretty much the same, but just going through it really quickly. We've got our four classifications, comment level one, level two, USCDI. The initial data element submission to the comment section is a public-facing workspace is open to everyone. subsequent and ongoing submissions for specific data elements go to the same workspace to enable and encourage the contribution of additional information as it becomes available to help advance data elements. Promotion is based on meeting specific benchmarks. So we're going not from an annual, but as soon as the data element is ready, it is promoted as it's ready. That's a new line item from our last high-tech call. Ongoing review of by ONC to determine the appropriate classification occurs. There are frequent notifications of classification changes and opportunities for feedback. And final evaluation is done by ONC with recommendations from the high-tech. So any comments or thoughts on just our key components of this process? Sorry.
Do we like the word benchmarks as opposed to milestones? Bullet four. I mean, I think milestone makes more sense.
Yeah, I would agree to that.
Harry?
Yeah,
I think we got the milestones
fine.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to edit in real time. We're all in agreement. Okay. Anything else on this slide?
Real time is the best time.
Great. So this is a new recommendation. The task force realized that data elements that have neither advanced nor received additional submissions for an extended period of time should be removed from level one or level two, and recommends the following process of ONC. First, to provide a warning to the submitters or sponsors indicating that a data element that have not advanced to the next level and have not received additional submissions during the expected advancement time are at risk for reassignment to a stalled category. They should place data elements that have neither advanced nor received additional submissions in twice the average advancement time into the stalled data element category and reintroduce the data element following submission of new information that indicates that the element is more likely to advance. So this is really for anything that is stagnant.
And I'll take the blame or credit for the stalled category and picking a very arbitrary criterion to decide what's advancing and what's not. So it means figuring out how everything else is going through the system, and then if it takes you twice as long, and then you're stalled. So happy to have any other formulation. And hearing none, then we'll keep it.
Yeah, I mean, I suggested the change in the word average because, I mean, half of things will be less than the average, right? So,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Now careful. Be careful. Half of it will be less than the median, not necessarily the average.
I love you, Clem.
I know.
Keep them in line. Don't let them get out of the way. All right.
Great.
Good.
So then our next topic is the public submitter feedback in the promotion process. There was concern that there was not an explicit process and timeline for obtaining public and data element submitter feedback on the readiness, applicability, or prioritization of a proposed data element or data classes. So the recommendation is to solicit public feedback quarterly to coincide with updating the status of each data element in the process. Specifically, seek comments on the maturity, adequacy, and adoption levels of a proposed data element. And specifically seek comments on the maturity and applicability of use cases, workflows, and value propositions, which may be more broadly applicable for a particular data class or element.
Yeah, and Christina, if I can comment on this too. So this really came out of the request to make the process go more quickly. And to do that, there's going to need to be more feedback. And so the choice of quarterly comments was an attempt to really speed the process up and give people more timely feedback about their submissions. It's an added workload for ONC, clearly. But that was sort of the trade-off.
Any thoughts on this recommendation?
I think it's helpful to have a clear process for soliciting feedback and incorporating it. And I like the details of what would be sought in the commentary. I don't imagine that everyone will have comments on every submitted data element each quarter. But if ONC is able to maintain that frequency, it would be nice to have the feedback incorporated in a timely fashion.
Thanks, Sasha. Okay. So the next topic is the proposal to shorten the process. There was a lot of concern at our high tech meeting that was voiced that this is really a very slow process. And how can we move it along and shorten it? So our recommendations are as follows to address this. Promotion occurs solely on the basis of meeting the required benchmarks, changing the milestones, without a minimum required promotion cycle time. We'll go through the promotion model and the milestones in a little bit, but decouple the promotion process from the standards advancement process and publish the status of all data elements in the data element promotion process quarterly in conjunction with a public comment period.
Now, are you worried at all about maybe overloading the whole system, or at least make people aware that everything can't be absorbed if there was a flood?
I that's come up multiple times, and that's kind of where we put in the recommendation of removing the stalled data elements and also looking at this in 1 year to evaluate, because we just don't know how much is going to come in. So Clem, the comment you just made, I think there's a lot of still unknowns around, but these are our attempts to try to address that concern, stalled and the.
Yeah, and Clem, we added sort of an annual review process for ONC based on all the comments, and including the one you just made, to really be the parking lot where we can put all of the things that we really weren't quite sure were going to happen and we're worried about, put them into the annual review process just to see if they happen, and if so, address them at that point.
Okay, good approach. Thank you.
It seems that it would make sense for them to somehow link the annual review of USCDI to the annual review of ISA, you know, that they should be in some sort of synchrony.
I support that because...
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So we don't want to decouple it entirely. So maybe we want to... So we'll rephrase the second bullet. Yeah, something like that. After we decouple, we'll align it. There we go.
Oh, note to tell to come back to that. Okay. Anything else here? Sorry, I'm hopping around. I forgot I was sharing my slides. great.
Okay.
So, Terry, do you want to take us through the benchmarks?
Sure. So, so we're trying to, and we'll, what did we say besides benchmarks? We wanted
milestones. I'll change it as you're writing.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
These are not milestones. So just a high overview of what the milestones are. We sort of broke it into these four pieces. Kind of what we expect of the submitters. So those are called, we call them administrative requirements, but pick another name. And then going from each level to the next level, right, which is what we did before. Okay, so this is just an orientation slide more than anything else. So the next slide is sort of what's in the administrative milestone. And it's really just some basic rules of the road for submitters, you know. Complete the form, you know, use the ISA and accepted standards, provide the information that's needed by ONC to do leveling and re-leveling. And then if ONC gives feedback, then respond to it. I mean, this is not earth-shaking stuff. Anyone's got other things that submitters should do, we're happy to add to the list. Didn't think this was going to be highly controversial. Okay, so we'll go into the next slide, which is how you get from the comment to level one. And the first 8 bullets are the same as they've always been. And it's the last bullet that has been changed a little bit. We were going around about, you know, how many settings do you need to have the testing in? We thought it was 2, but not 4, several. So we went back to the, at Dave McCauley's suggestion, went back to the Dixie Baker Standards Committee report of 2012 that outlined some maturity models. And sort of lifted a component from that report, and they basically said you know when you've gotten to this level when the pieces of the technology you're putting into place support multiple platforms, but require additional expertise. Meaning, I think in this case that this takes additional effort. Is not something that just happens by putting all the pieces together. And I'm not sure if this is specific enough, but really love to hear everyone's thoughts about how we tie a level of maturity that's really actionable by the submitters.
So just as a question, are there like 3 or 4 examples, some of which would be meeting this requirement and some of which wouldn't? I'm worried that it's not specific enough that we would all have the same understanding of what that requirement meant for promotion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. So the standards that, and then, so on the next slide, we'll get, I'll just read from the next slide and we'll come back. We won't leave this one. But the committee suggested the following criteria, sort of breadth of support, which we've got through the comment and the advancement through testing, the stability of the system, the adoption of the technology on which the system is based, the support for the platform, and then the maturity. Those are the criteria that Dixie Baker used. So going back here, I think, Sasha, your suggestion to actually give examples, I think would be really helpful. So maybe we'll put examples into the submission form as well as here. And do you have, we'll ask, do you have any suggested drafts? Sorry to put you on the spot, but you're always,
something. The domain of social determinants of health is one that probably has elements in it that are in various stages of the model, I would think, right? Some social determinants are probably more mature in their definition against all these criteria. Others are probably less mature in their definition against these criteria. So that's one that comes to my mind as if we picked different social determinants, and then if we all had a common understanding that, like, okay, when we think about the readiness of housing insecurity as a social determinant, and we all come to the same assessment, then that would give me a high confidence in the way the criteria are working. But if we each looked at housing insecurity as an example and then came to a different assessment of where it fell based on the same information, then our criteria probably aren't specific enough.
Okay. So really the definition of the data element has got to be specific, widely understood / accepted. Is that a
Well, I guess sort of like if I felt like implementing housing insecurity had core technology components that were supported in multiple platforms, but it did still require additional expertise, and Christina felt differently, then that criteria isn't really helping us determine if it's ready, right?
Right.
So I guess we'd have to be commonly understanding that phrase from Dixie Baker to make sure that it works.
Yeah. So for USCDI, I think the key is that the data element itself is clearly defined, tied to a standard that's gone through a public validating process, and therefore has some credibility and maturity of the data standard itself. Does that make sense to call out that piece?
I think that does make sense. I'm still, maybe I'm missing something, but I'm still not seeing how that would relate to either. I mean, I guess I see how that related to the old criterion of testing in a certain number of appropriate settings. I'm having trouble translating that goal of this standard has reached a sufficient level of advancement and includes this data element to the sort of core technology components metric. And it might just be I haven't wrapped my head around it yet. So if others are, if it's clicking for other people, go for it.
And the other thing is we don't have to cross out the cross out phrase. I mean, we can go back to it. The substituting Dixie Baker's language may not be the way to go. So don't have to get hung up on that. Were people comfortable with the previous line that's crossed out?
Yeah, with all due respect to Dixie, who's an amazing person, I think using the language that we came up with, and as opposed to trying to shoehorn her language in, probably makes more sense.
Yeah, so are we happy with several, or more than two, or 2 to 4, or three?
I think several is a good word.
Several seconds. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Stephen. Other thoughts on that? Does that make sense to everyone?
I think it specifies that testing is appropriate and expected, and then using a word like several allows for judgment to be applied as to the particular standard in question and what appropriate testing would be.
Good, because that was one of the issues, because different standards and different use cases need a different level of testing.
Yeah.
We weren't sure that 2 to 4 cut it. Okay, are we happy with this?
I am.
Is anyone terribly unhappy? And the other question, sub-question was, should we continue with this as required to go from comment to level one, or do we think it's something to be done when you're in level two? So the break point would be.
Yeah, I think that pilot. You know, connect-a-thon testing seems like it's more moving from level one to level two than comment to level one.
Yeah. Well, so I was thinking specifically of moving the red text to level one to level two, but leaving the connect-a-thon as part of comment to level one. You've got to achieve a certain community of interest that's pushing this along.
Okay. I'm following you. Yeah,
I would think, I guess I read the blue bullet, pilots, connect-a-thon testing, and production use as a lesser degree of the testing expected in the currently red bullet. So it seems reasonable to split those between some sort of initial testing, comment to level one, and then sufficient testing in applicable settings for one to two.
I like it.
Yeah.
You don't need that capital M in move.
Yeah, right. Well, that was a note to
left the over.
That's right. a note to the author, right? Move it.
Oh, got it. Sorry.
And I had nothing to do with. That text is going to disappear. Okay, good. So we're going to pull that to the next slide, which would be slide 14.
And all of a sudden, I can't edit. Okay, there we go.
Okay. So, all right. So here's the stuff about Dixie Baker, and we can eliminate the first red bullet if we want to keep with what we were doing before. And I'm happy to do that. Because not all of those really apply to USCDI. So, anyone saddened if we lost the first bullet?
Not I.
Hi.
The one thing I like about that bullet that we don't have below is stability. And if a data element in USCDI is being modified every other week, I wouldn't call it stable, and that is probably a reasonable factor to assess.
I agree. That's a good word.
Yeah. Do you think the stability is taken care of before when it's sort of linked to the standards and linked to an IG and linked to? Isn't it pretty well nailed down by the time it gets to a connect-a-thon?
I don't think so.
Is quite preliminary, actually, but I would expect that by the time you have, like, an implementation guide, there's a degree of stability achieved because that's the implementation guide often provides that stability. It defines this is what this means.
Okay.
It's probably covered by our other criteria, I guess, but it is a good word to evaluate, and so I wouldn't mind adding it in if we wanted to emphasize.
Okay, so, all right, so Christina, we'll figure out how to put stability in to really call that out as an important criteria.
Should we, I like Sasha's point about the implementation guide, so maybe it's like to demonstrate stability, there is an associated implementation guide, or there isn't.
Yeah, but would that go back to comment to level one, or would it be in the level one, level two?
That's what I was trying to remember. I don't think we had the implementation guide actually on level one.
It is. It's in the comment to level one.
Yeah,
that wasn't requirement. It wasn't a requirement.
Or is it the second class one? I don't remember. I guess reading these bullets, it looks like it's expected.
Oh, an implementation guide exists that contains the data element.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
It might be appropriate to, and I think it gets into the red text that we're looking at in this third bullet on this slide, which is that the implementation guide is similar to or for the right use case. But yeah.
Okay, so now my screen is jammed. All right, so we're going to do stability, and so my apologies, folks. I'm having technical difficulties.
Do you need me to read something to you? Can you see where we are?
Yeah, I can't see right this minute. I see where we are, but unfortunately my WebEx doesn't want to work, and now the the Google Doc wants to act up. Maybe I'll just reboot the Google Doc and keep my fingers crossed.
The extra language we put in from the Dixie Baker stuff that Terry Coates so kindly went through today. What are we thinking about that in these slides? In this slide?
I like it in the third bullet. I guess the fourth bullet seems weird to me.
That's it. This is the same thing that we took out, that core
right.
technology components in the last one, so it aligns with our previous discussion to just delete it. Any objections?
Nope.
Oh, great. All right, and I'm back. Good. We'll get rid of it. And then the next bullet was the use to meet the requirements of the proposed use cases. So we used several before on the last page. Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. We pulled that from the last page to here. I was about to say, I've seen that before. Okay. Right. This is where it belongs. Okay, good.
Does the addition of, I guess, new four bullet point, where we could cut the move level 1 to 2 because we did that, but does that make the current 3 irrelevant?
I think we could shorten 3 by just saying proposed use cases in applicable settings. Because use cases define the settings.
Yeah, in the most, right.
Okay.
In applicable side, yeah, rather than the majority of, okay.
I mean, if there's a use case that defines a setting, that should be part of the testing, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. Good.
So you know, this is Clem. I was worried about, you know, having a flood. These are pretty tight. So if you got to have all the applicable settings tested, we wouldn't have ICD-9. I don't know. Just be aware.
Well, so again, I think in bullet 3, we're talking about the applicable settings for the use cases. So that's not, you know, that is open to some flexibility. And then in the current bullet 4, we say several applicable settings. So we make sure we do what's necessary in there 3, and we make sure that it's sufficiently diverse in 4.
Okay. Well, I'm no longer worried that we're going to have too many flowing in anyway. I think this,
yeah,
it's great. That's pretty strict, though.
We're trying to ease your concerns, Clem. No one's going to get through USCDI.
Well, thank you. You're so kind.
All right. Okay. So
we need to combine bullets 3 and 4, probably.
Yeah, or at least the way Stephen broke it out makes sense. So we're making sure that the use cases that have implemented for are the ones that are under evaluation. Seems kind of
Put back in the word in there, in applicable settings.
Yeah.
Good.
All right. And then we've met the requirements in several settings.
Right. Somebody needs to wordsmith the first bullet, right? Turn that back into a complete sentence.
Yep.
Those are my notes.
On the stability, we may move it to the previous slide where we talk about an IG. You know, something like, and is part of an IG with, you know, stability of definition. Okay.
All right. That's not what we're going to say, but I just wanted to make note of that. All right. And then we're going to take it off on here. Perfect.
Okay. And all right. So then the next slide, we're saying, okay, what does it take to get from level two to USCDI? Right, and this is really a couple of things. It's really that you've demonstrated technical maturity and you've been tested at scale. So the question is, what's an acceptable level of being tested at scale? And so Stephen wondered, you know, how do we define most? You know, do we put a number on it? Do we say, you know, 80% of the market is here? So sort of an ISA definition of adoption.
Well, even most, you know, most implies more than 50%. Is that really what we want? I keep going back to social determinants. I mean, if we waited until most of the market was doing that, I mean, then what's the point of putting it in USCDI? I mean, once you got most of the market doing something, it's already happening using market forces, and USCDI seems superfluous almost.
That was kind of my point on the last one. I think you're right on.
Also remembering that USCDI, you know, gives like a 2-year plus window before people are forced to do it. So my thought is that things get into USCDI before most of the market is already doing it.
Stephen, remember we talked last time we met that that's actually not accurate, that there would be 2 years once it's in USCDI. We looked at the TEFCA draft, which said 18 months, for example. So we do need to be cognizant of that timeline.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think we could cut most here because we already have a quantification that it should be sufficient to establish feasibility for the majority of anticipated users.
Yeah, that I like. Feasibility for use by the majority is different than saying it's already being used by the majority.
I think there's two things we want to have. And this is really about technical maturity. So, you know, is it sufficiently mature that you could anticipate that most of the platforms out there would be able to handle this without special effort, as opposed to are they currently handling it? I think there's a distinction to be made between the two. So it's a level of technical maturity that would allow us to say, this is really ready to go because we're satisfied that sufficient number of these platforms can handle it now without special effort.
Well, is it can handle it now or have the technical foundation to be able to handle it now? Because again, I anticipate that things being moved to USCDI should trigger a wave of development and implementation.
Right.
You know, it shouldn't be after the fact.
Yeah.
to that point, the way I read this is it's like we're testing it. So it's been tested in multiple systems to as like a proof of concept, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's been scaled to all of those systems deployments across the country. So it's demonstrating that it works. We've tested the data elements and we're confident that the technical maturity is good. But that still doesn't
already
mean it's been adopted.
It's already been in level two for a year. The writing's been on the wall. No one should be surprised by
it. It may not be a year. Remember, we're speeding this up. One hopes. But your point is, once you get into level two, people should not be surprised that you're going to get into USCDI.
So one difference between this metric and the previous ones is that initially we had several applicable settings, and here we're saying the majority of anticipated users. Now, in some cases, those might be quite similar, but in other cases, the majority of anticipated users might be much broader than several applicable settings.
Yeah.
And so I think this is appropriate to gauge if the difference between we've done this successfully in, 10 settings and we need to be able to do this successfully in 200 settings to go live with USCDI across the country, if that difference is significant, then that's what should be measured with this promotion criterion, right?
Yeah, I think it's right. What's our level of confidence that this data element is, again, sufficiently mature to be exchanged, at a national level? And so we've got to have enough sites that are able to do it, enough different platforms that are able to do it, to be able to say that, the majority are able to do it, so it's ready to go. And the minority that can't do it, FYI, it's on its way. I mean, that's really the question is, I guess, getting back, is do we need a numerical level or is it?
I think the numerical level of feasible for a majority of anticipated users gives clarity.
I'm comfortable with that.
All right. Clem?
Yes, I was on mute.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And
okay.
Everyone else okay with that?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Great. Thank you. That was, that's great. So now we're in milestone, right? So getting from level two to USCDI is a complicated process. So we just got the first of two slides. Right? So this is the title National Applicability. So one was technical maturity, which we just handled. So then the question is, all right, what are we going to use for criteria that it really ought to be applied nationally? And so, cost and quality might be one. A huge number of stakeholders. Those are sort of positives. So let's focus on the first two bullets first. We tried to soften this a little bit. So, Stephen, you said, right, two things. The address shouldn't mean solve, but that's later. So we'll get to that later on. But this, you also said, is cost the right issue or sufficient? Because there are some things that won't really have a cost.
Well, no, I was saying is cost necessary, not sufficient. Not everything is going to impact costs, right? I mean,
yeah,
you can,
sure.
I mean, except perhaps indirectly, right? One can argue that when you
right.
improve quality, you lower cost. But, I mean, you shouldn't have to prove that, right? I mean, it could be cost, it could be quality, it could be convenience, it could be access, it could be, you know, could be any number of things. So
right.
when you guys had cost on there as kind of the one criterion, it concerned me.
Okay. So we tried to soften it with if applicable, but maybe we want to just enumerate the things you just went through. So, you know, such as cost. Quality, access. Yeah, so basically,
user experience,
yeah.
safety.
Yeah. All right. So we'll enumerate a bunch of reasons why this data element is good for the country.
I mean, you can start with the quadruple aim, right?
Right. So maybe we just say that. Maybe we just say that provide evidence that this data element advances the triple aim or quadruple aim.
I like that. Others?
Yeah, I mean, enough thought has been put into that on over enough years that we know that's the direction we want to go.
Yeah. All right. And we don't have to add anything to that.
So the only thing I worry about, but I think it's covered in the last bullet, is that a lot of the stuff that people want are those who don't have to do it. You know, like, so if it's a clinician, it's got to be add 10 more variables or 20 more variables. That should be at least a red flag.
Yeah. I mean, the implementation of this is something different. But you're right, Clem.
Your last bullet sort of covers it, so I'm not too worried.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we got the first bullet better. So the number of stakeholders. So again, Stephen, thank you. Right. We had clinicians or providers or something in there. So, you know, are a bunch of people going to use this? Yeah. Is the data element helpful? Are a lot of people going to use it? Those are pretty straightforward, I think. And then we get to the next three bullets are really about things that might make you want to think twice about making it a national standard. One is that, you know, somebody owns the code sets and will charge everyone to use them. And Stephen, are you, so your comment about address doesn't mean solved?
Right.
Is address sufficient? Presumably because if it's been addressed and found to be wanting, someone would hope that there's a response.
Yeah. Again, I didn't say the word had to come out. I just wanted to make, you know, I don't know if it warrants parenthetic address, not necessarily solved. I mean, it, you know, so we're talking about going to USCDI. Actually, I guess I like, you know, if it's going to USCDI, they really do have to have been pretty well solved. So maybe you're okay.
Okay.
All known restrictions potentially limiting the use. Yeah, so I mean, so again, does addressing licensing and fees mean that there are no licensing and fees? I mean, this came up in ISPTF, of course,
right?
Right? I mean, all the discussion about, you know, using, you know, ICD-10. Have those issues been addressed, even though people are currently have to pay to use ICD-10?
Well, I guess we're saying that ONC has got to figure that one out, right?
Yeah.
So
maybe addressed. Maybe addressed is fine. Maybe I'm being overly sensitive.
Okay. And then finally, the overall burden to implement. So these are the hurdles that sort of the ONC and HITAC are going to put on the data element. Having made it through all the other hurdles, this is the last one. Last ones. Okay, are we? Thank you all, this is great. Are we okay with that? Hearing nothing more, then we'll move on to 17, which is, so Sasha, I think this is actually Sasha and Clem, this is all flowing together, but this is trying to summarize the comment that said, I guess it was Sasha, that it's not so much the size, and Clem's comment was, as long as it's well-structured and based on accepted standards, it's the multiple complex use cases. Is that a... Anyway, so I'll ask Sasha and Clem, does this sort of address your core concerns?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess the goal, is this intended to be a restriction or to open a gate? I think it's a pretty high restriction because there's an ill-defined. Let me rephrase it. The burden of implementation is really important, but I don't know, the multiple complex use cases adds to that. I mean, if humans have to enter, it's going to be a burden. If they can pull it from a machine, it won't be such a burden.
Yeah, I think Sasha, I think your point was more around implementation, around multiple complex use cases for a shared data set. Is that
right? I mean, I think just for context, we were calling this like large data classes or bulk data classes, and I was just struggling with that because there are simplistic but extremely large classes of data, or at least large classes. I was using like preferred language as an example. If there's 20 choices for preferred language or 20,000 choices for preferred language, that actually doesn't change the complexity overly much. I mean, it does somewhat because you'd probably want to have some guidance to get through all 20,000 choices. But that's different than if there are 20 ways in which the information is used versus, 200 ways in which the information is used, even if the set of information is only 20 things.
Because the information has to be more nuanced or more complex itself, or?
Yeah, or because it has a larger proportion of metadata around it, or different interactions and actions that are taken on it. I think I use medications as an example. So within medications, even, you have, of course, a lot of metadata, but then also you have orders, you have prescriptions, you have administrations, you have dispense records, then you have pharmacy receipts, and all the different things that like ISP Task Force has been talking about. And that's a very complicated data class, much more complicated than preferred language, if you would even consider preferred language a data class. It might just be an element.
Great. So I think the point of this was, in considering the burden of implementation, just adding this to a criteria because this has not been previously addressed. I think that's the point. So it's a small point, but is this important for the implementers, the vendors, to just have ONC note that this may add to their burden of implementation?
I guess I would remove the large data classes language because that's confusing to me, but I do think that it's important to note that supporting multiple complex use cases is more of a challenge to implementers.
So the amendment then is just to address complex use cases rather than size of data and just remove everything having to do with...
You could maybe just copy the sentence that says Supporting multiple complex use cases may present more significant challenges to implementers, and put it as a sub-bullet of the previous slide where they're estimating the burden to implement.
Okay. I like that solution.
Do you want me to do that in the doc while we move on?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm not going to complain.
That's great.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Anyone else can make any changes they want. Okay. We're getting there. So then the issue of harmonization. And it was raised, I think, Stephen, you said it's an important issue to address. And I must admit, Christina and I struggled with this a bit. And I don't know if we framed it the right way, but you'd like parsimony on the one hand, but you need granularity on the other. And sometimes the two cannot be reconciled or harmonized. So
problem is that no one wants to give up their own way of saying it. I think it's going to defeat standards. I mean, it's contrary. It's the opposite. And harmonization is really hardly ever works.
Yeah.
So you really want to say is force them to agree on one.
How about the last bullet?
You can't say that.
Clem, the last bullet here. So let LNC, decide whether data sets, data classes need to be collapsed or new ones born out of.
I think that would be good. The way it's read now is a little vague. Reconfigure. What you just said is they should come to an agreement and reduce the number for a given purpose or for a given field is how I'd say it. I mean, there's ways to do gradation. If you got a question, you can have five answers, and you can get different information by the set of answers. But so it's complicated.
All right. Do you think I'm just trying to clean up this slide. If we remove the top paragraph and just said left the last three bullets with a rephrasing of the third, taking out reconfigure, just saying whether or not you need grouping or ungrouping of data elements. That was one question. Actually, so this last bullet has two pieces.
Yeah, I'm not sure that grouping or ungrouping gets the point you're trying to make. Is get agreement on one approach or not. That's the grouping or ungrouping.
Okay. So phrase it differently.
Yeah.
So achieve consensus.
What it should be when there's multiple proposals similar or set up. Now, Steve often has a good balanced view of things like this. He's not speaking now, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that captures it.
Okay.
Okay, and that perhaps that's enough. I mean, you get consensus.
Well,
and you,
I'm not sure that's
or you don't, and it's a different part.
Yeah, okay. I can go with
so
that.
So we're taking out this whole top part?
Take out the top part and take out the red bullet.
Take out the
take out the red one. Yeah. Much nicer slide. Okay.
That's clean.
It is clean. All right. So hopefully people know what we mean. Okay. And then the last slide that I'm going to do, this is an easy one. Just delete the slide. It doesn't have anything on it that not on the other slide. Yay! Okay, that was easy. All right, Christina. Oh, no, this is you. Final review.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. So now we've got our recommendations for the final review of the data elements. We talked about the process for the final review. I'm going to have to edit in real time at the same time, meeting all the milestones for advancement. So here are our recommendations. Star circle, review data elements for the technical maturity, industry readiness, and alignment with identified national priorities and barriers to implementation, adoption, and use.
Christina, yeah. I'd separate out readiness and alignment as two different sub-bullets. Those are pretty different.
Okay. Got it. I got it.
Terry and I are editing together. Okay, I'll let you edit then. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Stephen. Then our process here is that the ONC would provide HITACH with a proposed draft of the data elements that meet the criteria for promotion into USCDI based upon the things under the review. You can delete that part, sorry. And then the HITACH would provide ONC with recommendations regarding the proposed draft. And ONC publishes any final decisions taken into consideration for public comment and HITACH recommendations. So it becomes a cycle. ONC provides, does this make sense? I was reading and things are changing at the same time. So sorry about that.
It's been that kind of day, Christina.
We're trying to make it as hard as possible.
Looking up at that top section, not that it necessarily matters, but alignment with priorities, does that come first, last? It doesn't feel like it comes in the middle.
Yeah.
These weren't really ordered, I don't think.
Yeah.
No, but...
So maybe we put industry readiness after barriers to implement. So maybe put alignment with priorities number two.
Well, you know, it's a little separate. I mean, the others seem to sort of fall into a chronology a little bit. I mean, the industry can't be ready if it's not technically mature. Looking at barriers comes after technical maturity. So, I mean, I would tend to do technical barriers, industry alignment. But, again, I don't know that it matters much, but.
Well, that makes sense because then you've got the more technical piece and then the industry pieces.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
It's just that I don't think ONC is going to be evaluating alignment early on in the process. Yeah, that's fine too.
I was just looking because the technical maturity and the national priorities are our two main buckets to get into USCDI. So just orders, it's silly. Okay.
And barriers too. No, I like that. Leave it as it is. Cool. I'm happy with that.
Cool.
Right done.
So are we okay with this review process?
We gotta be.
Yeah. Okay.
So now we've got the a proposal for an actual annual review of the promotion model. That there was concerns raised, and this was Sasha brought this to our attention, that
there are a lot of there's a lot of uncertainty around the process now, and we really do need to reevaluate and make necessary adjustments. So to address this concern, we have the following recommendations. Recommending that ONC conduct an annual review of the promotion model and report the results with requests for public comments. Specific issues include but aren't limited to the following. So volume of submission, advancement by level, and failures to advance, time for advancement to the next level, aggregate time from submission to USCDEI, the harmonization of the data elements, high priority data elements found to be missing, high priority data elements submitting, volume of submission and advancement by level and failures to advance, and the need to prioritize promotion of qualified data elements to USCDEI versus excess volume. Any thoughts on this? Comments, additions?
I'd rephrase the last bullet. I don't understand what versus excessive volume means.
I was thinking the same thing as I was reading it. Is it the complexity? So the slide we were just editing a few back.
It's really
was editing.
It's in the face of excessive of high volume, the need to prioritize promotion. I think high volume leads to the need for prioritization, or may need them.
Right, we didn't want to accidentally promote a billion things at once.
Right. That was Clem's challenge to the system.
Okay, so how do you want to...
This well stated.
In the event, okay. Instead of versus, so in the event of high
That's
volume.
It. Good job. That's what we're looking for. Okay. So are we ready to move on to the next slide? Any other thoughts, comments here? Okay, pretty straightforward. All right.
I think
the annual review. And if we have a better title for this, I think I sat on this title for a while and then moved on. Who will do the upfront work? That's what we got. Even
well,
start thinking of creative juices.
Yeah, I think, right, that's why it's still draft, right? So I think the issue is if we need a prioritization step, how is that prioritization going to be done? So it's sort of so we call out the need for prioritization in the previous slide, or potential need. So this slide, I took it as meaning, okay, so if you need to prioritize, how are you going to do it? You know, do we provide ONT with guidance of what things might be important in prioritization, or should we just leave that to ONT to figure it out if they need a prioritization process?
Wait, Terry, are you talking about slide 21 or the ambiguous prioritization slide 22?
Oh, I must be I'm on 22. I'm sorry. I may be ahead of myself.
Okay. I was like,
sorry.
I'm not seeing the connection. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, right. Who will do the upfront work? All right. So this is the concern that Ken raised of the business model is let somebody else do the work and adopt it when it's all done, it's a lot lower cost. So this is essentially asking ONC to, on their annual review, see if indeed that's the case. And if so, figure out a way to address it. It's pretty vanilla. Okay. All right. Hearing none. Then, okay. Thank you, Sasha. Now I'm on slide 22. So I guess the question I would ask in this slide, again, if there needs to be a prioritization step, does the task force need to suggest what that might look like, or should we just eliminate the slide?
No, I like it. I think we should keep it.
You like it? Okay. Okay. Okay.
And so, I wouldn't say in that first bullet, rather than large, maybe even say excessively large or.
Whoops, I'm sorry. I think we may be on different slides again.
No.
Which slide are you?
Yeah, the one you're showing. Yeah, that word right there, large. I mean, large is.
It's large, not.
I don't think it's sufficiently clear, and there may be a large number to go through simultaneously, but they might all be fine. You know, we might be, you know, maybe the social, you know, maybe the gravity people have done all their homework, and there's a big number, but boom, you know, they can all go in. But it's like if there are too many, you know, if ONC judges that there are just more than is appropriate, so excessively large might be the way to do it.
Or too many. Too many.
Yeah. Too many. There you go.
Okay. That's fine. All right.
But yeah, but I mean, it's really, it's relative to the capacity of the industry.
Yeah. Extent of applicability. I mean, that means just how widely applicable is the data?
Right.
All right, so it's not, so extent of applicability is everyone okay with the extent of applicability? That just seems a little tortured to me, but all right. Are we happy with, yeah.
So then you have to get rid of the, there you go, perfect, okay. I hate bulleted lists. It's like, do you capitalize? Do they get punctuation at the end? Oh, my God.
Right.
Okay. Next slide. I'm moving. Can I move?
Nina's ready to be Harry. Done.
Yeah. Is it you or me or somebody? Right. Okay. Yeah, this is another... So this is another one as part of its annual review. And what we'll, what Christina and I will do is we'll put these in all the slides that are related to the annual review process, and we'll group them together in a way, in an order that seems to make sense to us. But just to let you know, there, again, this is, these are parking lots for concerns that we raised in our discussions and that the HITAC raised, for which we have no answer. So we're just saying review it and address it appropriately.
That seems fine.
Okay.
And this is a teaser because we're not done yet. We wanted to... one of our charges was the actual feedback on the data element submission info. So this is the form that we've all seen multiple times, but it came back. We do want to add it to our recommendations. So we've got it. We got it up with the sections. I don't know if we want to go through it. What time did we have to go to public comment? Oh, we're good. My computer's fast on time. Yeah. Okay.
And the submission form, we will revise in accordance with our discussion today. It'll make it look the same and match it to the detail of the promotion mode.
So I don't know if we need to go through this. We probably need to, but we kind of realized that the submission form information had gotten lost as we were doing our discussions, and we needed to pull it back in.
So we're
just looking to see if we, I don't think we had any red sections. Did we want to go through this, Terry? I guess we have time.
Yeah, I think it may change a little bit based on sort of our discussions today. So I don't know.
Why don't we work on it and then we'll everything else will look like mostly what we went through and discussed, but have everyone give special attention to the submission form once we revise it via email. Sound good?
Sounds awesome.
Or the alternative, you can spend the next 11 minutes going over the submission form. That's the choice. So we can we cut the public comment?
Why don't we do the public comment and we'll see if there's any time left after that. Can we open the line for public comments, please?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press *2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. There seems to be no comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. So that will conclude our public comment for this call. Christina and Terry, do you want to go back to the form or any closing remarks?
How about some closing remarks? All right. So thank you all for all of the work you've done over the last 2 years. On this, it's been a pleasure learning from all of some very smart people, and it's been a delight. So both of us really appreciate all of the hard work you guys have put in, and we'll see how it flies at HITECH.
Well, can we throw back a thank you to Christina and Terry? You guys have done a fabulous job steering this ship, making it both fun and productive. And I hope that we all have, or some of us at least, have another turn at USCDI round 3, because there's clearly more work to be done. But you've done a great job to date.
Well, I'd like to second that, but and emphasize that Steve's comments are especially meaningful because he's carried the labor, one of the carriers of the labor on another team, which is pretty heavy.
This has been a great group effort.
Yeah. And yeah, and Stephen, we have to, you know, we call out everyone, but Stephen has really been the associate co-chair, who's probably done more editing than either Christina or I together. So really appreciated.
He's a real yeoman.
Yeah, I think we're just going to set up task forces that, with Stephen, and then we'll all call in from time to time.
You know, it's interesting to see what's coming next. You know, I mean, these two task forces are both finishing their work and presenting them next week, and you know, there's the annual report which needs to keep on rolling. But I mean, I wonder if this means we're ready for the final rule.
Let's have a task force about the final rule.
I suspect we might, right?
All right. Well, just one last reminder for the public. The full high tech next full high tech meeting is going to be on Wednesday, October 16th. For the public as well, all the materials, as a reminder, are all available on the high tech calendar on healthit.gov. And any last remarks before we adjourn for the day? All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And I look forward to the meeting next week. And we can adjourn for the day.
Great.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Yay. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.